So this morning we go back to the book of James again. James chapter 1, verse 27. Then we're going to go back over to chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. But we're going to begin with verse 27 of chapter 1. James 1, verse 27. And there the word of God says, "Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world." And then over to chapter 2, beginning with verse 14 to the end of the chapter. Chapter 2, verse 14 says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warm and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that the faith was working with his works, and as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, 'And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." Amen. So I shared with you a while back that sometimes we find profound biblical truth in very simple Christian children's songs. For example, a few weeks ago, we talked about how the profound truth of us standing on the Word of God is captured in the children's song, the B-I-B-L-E. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. That's a profound truth that we believe in as Christians. This morning, there is another profound biblical truth that we look at today that's captured in a very simple children's song. It's called, "If You're Saved and You Know It." If you're saved and you know it, remember it goes, say amen, and then clap your hands, and then stomp your feet, and then do all three. The tune is really taken from another song called, "If You're Happy and You Know It," but we've given it Christian words. And so we talk about those motions, and we talk about being saved. But there's one really profound line in that song that really captures biblical truth. It also says, if you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. That truth is a bedrock of God's teaching today through James. It's kind of the apex of his whole letter. We've been talking about faith that works as the title of this series. And we focused on the effectiveness of faith. It really works. But faith that works also means it is evidenced and expressed through our faith. Faith works. Faith that is practiced in our behaviors, our attitudes, and our actions. It is faith that is demonstrated in our deeds. It is faith that is more than mere profession. It is faith that is practice. Then your lives will surely show it. And that's the premise of Jesus or James's teaching here in chapter 2, especially. The truth that the faith is to be a Christian is both to profess faith, but also to practice faith through our works. Now, as we get into that premise today that James emphasizes, I want to give you three clarifications this morning. The first clarification as we get into this text is understand that true faith is not from our works. Very important. True faith is not from our works. To have true faith in Jesus Christ is a gift of God's grace. We can never work for that. The Buddha's dying words were, "Work hard to gain your own salvation." As Christians, we categorically deny that we can, through our own efforts, be saved from sin. We are saved by faith through grace. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast." We receive His grace, His forgiveness, His love in Jesus Christ, His death on the cross for us. We receive it. We never achieve that grace. Titus 3, 5, "He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we've done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing and regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." Even in chapter 1 of James, verse 18, he says, "In the exercise of His will, He gave us birth by the word of truth." So please keep in mind as we go through this text today, as we look at James here, understand that faith is God's gift. We do not do works for faith, but rather from faith in Jesus. Faith not earned by works, but evidenced by works. Very important point. Second thing I want to clarify is that James uses the word faith in two different ways here. He uses faith in two different ways. One is faith that is only profession, just professing it. It's just saying, "I believe in the tenets of the Christian faith," without taking to heart Jesus Christ and yielding to Him in our lives. That's one use of faith. The other use of faith is that what we just talked about is receiving Jesus Christ by grace and believing in Him so that our lives are transformed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If any man is in Christ, the person is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things come." It's a regeneration through faith that he talks about. So he uses it in two different ways. The second third clarification is understand what James means by works. What does he mean by that word works? What he doesn't mean is what we call the works of the law. That's how Paul uses the phrase, works of the law. He uses it to refer to the fact that we could somehow keep the commandments of the Old Testament and that would save us. And Paul says the works of the law cannot save you. So he's not using it in that sense. He is using the word works here as deeds that express our faith. In fact, the word deeds might be a better word to use here even than works. Deeds that express our faith. They are deeds of action and attitudes and behaviors that flow out of our relationship with Jesus. They are deeds of forgiveness. They are deeds in using our tongue in the right way, as Pastor Ryan talked about last week. They are deeds of fleeing sin, acts of mercy. These are the works he's talking about here when he uses that word. Those things that we do because Jesus has invaded our lives and we have the power of the Holy Spirit, and therefore we can live what Christ commands us. So we prove that our profession of faith is real because our lives are changed in Christ. This is really an elaboration of what James said in chapter 1, verse 22, when he says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word and not just hearers who deceive themselves." But when James speaks of doing these works, though, he also understands that these are works of faith. Beloved, there's no way that you and I will desire to change our lives unless Jesus comes into our lives. There's no way without faith in Christ that we can change our lives. There's no way I want to be selfless. I don't want to love my neighbor. I don't want to be gracious to the max. I don't want to share things or do things appropriately as I should without Jesus in my life. It is only through faith that works will be attempted and done. Only through faith will we want to see change in our lives. We will do those things, we will change our lives by Jesus producing the works in us and through us. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, we are not adequate in ourselves to consider ourselves anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. In John 15:5, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches, the one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, we could say works, for apart from me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. The last time I looked up that word in the Greek, nothing, it means nothing. There is nothing we can do to produce those works without Jesus Christ in us. So those are some clarifications you need to get into this text. What I want to look at today is faith that works in practicing these particular evidences. Faith that works in practicing these particular evidences. The first is compassion and not indifference. The work of compassion. He touches on it at the end of chapter 1 that we read, verse 27, that this is pure and undefiled religion. What he's saying is the true faith in Jesus Christ is the true religion, not the religious law, not the pagan Roman religion, but this is true faith. It is evidenced, he said, verse 27, by visiting orphans and widows in their distress. It's evidenced by compassion. It's not an accident in church history that orphanages historically have begun by Christians. It's not an accident that in our church today we have a ministry of deaconesses and deacons to care for widows and widowers, because that's part of working out and doing our faith in Christ. He also says that we're to be unstained by the world. But then he brings us back over in chapter 2, verse 14, to the idea of compassion. And in verse 14, he asks a rhetorical question. He says to them, what use is it, my brethren? We have said before that James does correction with affection, doesn't he? He corrects them, but he also says, my brethren, my fellow Christians, understand this. If someone, verse 14, says he has faith, but he has no works. Now, again, remember the two definitions of faith. Here he's referring to what the NIV says is such faith. It's not really the biblical faith that we want, but somebody has a type of faith here that merely professes without practice. James is saying, is it real faith? Is it true faith if you profess it but refuse to practice it? Faith without deeds from that faith. Then he illustrates that point in verse 15 when he says, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food. So this is a Christian who is destitute. They don't have daily food. They don't have clothing to be able to wear out. And he says to them in verse 16, and one of you, you profess Christians, one of you, verse 16, says to them, go in peace, literally shalom, be warmed and be filled. Now the Greek there actually is reflexive. And so it literally reads, go warm yourself. You go fill your own stomach. I won't help you. You go take care of yourself. In other words, you lack compassion. You mouth words of comfort, but there are no deeds behind it of compassion. When I think about this idea of just saying words, I think of the musical My Fair Lady. Remember the musical? And there's a song in My Fair Lady called Show Me. This is where Freddie is trying to get Eliza in the movie, in the show. And she sings back to him after he's given her all these wonderful words. She says, words, words, words. I'm sick of words. Don't talk of stars burning above. If you're in love, show me. Sing me no song. Read me no rhyme. Don't waste my time. Show me. Don't just say it. Show me. That's what James is saying here in verse 16. And yet with your words only, he says, you do not give them what is necessary for their body. What use is that? It's a rhetorical question. It begs the answer, none at all. Words of compassion without showing compassion. And so verse 17, he says his point, even so, such faith, again, just professed, if it has no works or deeds, is dead, being by itself. Faith that is professed is good, but it really is useless if it's not attached to action. 1 John 3, John says in 1 John 3:17, whoever has worldly goods and sees his brother or sister in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God remain in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Our faith is to be evidenced by works of compassion. Think about those around you that have physical needs. How do we treat them? Do we just give them a nice scripture? Do we mouth a platitude? Or do we fill a plate and meet a need and tangibly help? This is why the church for decades, Jeff is associated with the Boise Rescue Mission, and Jeff's very involved there. For decades, we have been helping out people in those needs in the love of Christ. Faith that works in practice evidences compassion. But secondly, faith that works in practice evidences more than just intellectual assent. It evidences more than just intellectual assent. Look at verse 18. He kind of gives this idea, again, of a hypothetical with the word someone. And it could be really real in the church. He says in verse 18, someone says, you have faith and I have works. You have faith, I have works. Now, one of the difficult things in studying the Greek, where the New Testament comes from, is that there are no quotation marks in the Greek language. So you don't know where the quote starts and where it ends, and you kind of have to guess. So my guess here is that the phrase, you have works, or you have faith, and I have works, that's in quotation marks. Someone is saying that. Someone is making a category. There's the category of faith, and there's the category of works. There's the category of professed faith and practiced faith. And so I think in verse 18, James begins to answer with the phrase, show me your faith without works, which he's already pointed out in verse 17, is useless and dead, not possible. But he adds, I will show you my faith by my works. I will show you that true faith produces deeds or works that doesn't just stop at professing orthodoxy. That's good, but it goes on to do something. He makes that clear in verse 19 when he says, you believe that God is one. Remember, he's writing to a Jewish Christian audience, and when he quotes that phrase, he's quoting from the Shema in Deuteronomy 6:4 that says, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. That is a bedrock of Christian and Jewish faith. It's good to declare you believe in one God. He says in verse 19, you do well. That's a right statement of faith. But then he also adds in verse 19, the demons profess that belief. The demons also believe. The word believe there means they accept it as true. But unlike true faith or belief that causes worship of God, it says they shudder at that. The word means to bristle, kind of like your hair standing up in terror, because they know their fate under that God. James is pointing out, again, that mere profession as a category of faith that stops only at the intellect is not the true faith. True faith does include knowing the Bible verses, knowing the truth of Scripture, but it's dead faith, he says, if it's left by itself. The religious leaders, remember, they came to Jesus, and they often said to him, we know that you are from God. That's the truth. But they did not yield to Jesus and believe in him as God. James says mere faith intellectually and trying to divorce it from a changed life in Christ is not true faith. You and I know people, don't we, who will profess Christian truths. I know people who know better the Scriptures than I do, who've memorized even more of it, but it has not affected their life. They don't follow Jesus. I know people who admire Jesus and say, I want to follow his teaching. It's profession without practice. In Titus 1:16, Paul says, there are those who profess to know God, but their deeds deny him. And he concludes in verse 20, are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow? So he calls him out. This person may be real or not. Foolishness here is not stupidity or dumbness, but you lack wisdom. You're being foolish when you conclude that you can have faith, profession, without practice. You need to realize, as he's already said in verse 17, that faith without works is useless. It is not the faith that God calls us to. So faith that works in practice must evidence more than just intellectual assent to a certain fact, okay? The third thing I want to point out here is faith that works in practice evidences obedience. It will be evidenced by obedience. Now, James gives us two illustrations here that are wrapped around a key premise here. So I want to start with the premise, and it's covered in the phrase. You'll notice it's repeated in verse 21, verse 24, and verse 25. So if he repeats it three times, it must be important. And that phrase is justified by works. Justified by works. Now, if you've been a Christian very long, that phrase by itself can sound very alarming. First of all, we hear it because it claims, it sounds like, that we are saved by our works, doesn't it? But that can't be true. That can't be what James is saying, because all of Scripture that we've already quoted this morning says we're saved by grace, not by works. The other reason it sounds alarming is it could seem to contradict what Paul teaches, which again is we're justified by God's grace alone. So what's going on here? Well, the key here is understanding that the word justified can be translated in two different ways in Scripture. It can mean two different things. It can mean to declare righteous. To declare righteous. This is like in a legal proceeding when someone is declared not guilty. Paul in Romans 3:28 says, "We maintain that a man is justified or declared righteous by faith apart from the works of the law." So Paul is saying that faith in Jesus' death for our sins, understanding Christ in our lives, makes us declared righteous before a holy God, that we have not sinned. Declared not guilty. This is the root of our salvation. Justification by faith. Declared righteous by faith. But the other meaning of the word justified here means to demonstrate as righteous. Not declared as righteous, but demonstration that we are righteous. At the moment of salvation, we are saved through faith plus nothing. But what the root of the faith comes from leads to the fruit of that salvation, which is the demonstration of a practice of good works. This is not a contradiction of Paul. This is a complement to our salvation story. Again, we are not saved by works, but to good works. Not works for faith, but from faith. So putting this all together, justification by faith pertains to our standing before God. God justifies. Justification by works refers to our standing before other men. It's illustrated, if you will, by our works. Then he goes on to illustrate that here using Abraham. First of all, this takes us back to Genesis 22. Remember, God asked Abraham to be willing to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And in obedience, Abraham was willing to do that work, that deed, as a foreshadowing of Jesus' sacrifice. So you could read verse 21, was not Abraham, our spiritual father, demonstrating his faith by that work or that deed of obedience when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, Abraham offered up his son. But he didn't just think about it. He didn't just intellectually agree, yes, God, I should do that. He didn't just say, yes, I will. He actually did it in obedience. Was he not acting in faith? It's a rhetorical question. Again, James answers with, yes, he was. And then verse 22, you see Abraham's obedience was faith, was working with his works, which is a play on words there, working with his works, and as a result of the works, obedience, faith was perfected. That word means completed or brought to maturity. In other words, his work of obedience proved his faith. He did not simply say, you know, I follow God. Wherever he tells me to go, I go. Whatever he tells me to do, I do. I actually want to obey him. He didn't just say it. He actually did it. And then verse 23, James adds, this is very important, what we call the prevenient or first thing in Abraham's life. The first thing for Abraham was he believed God, and that's what reckoned him as righteous. This is before, this is like chapter 15, before chapter 22 of Genesis, before the sacrifice of Isaac, he had already believed in God. He was justified by faith. In Romans 4:3, Paul says, "For what does Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." He believed God, but then he also followed God as he was declared righteous. He demonstrated that righteousness in obedience. Which leads to verse 24. Again, the emphasis here is that we need justification by faith. We are declared right before God, and then we demonstrate we are right before God as we do deeds of relationship with God, justified by works and not mere faith alone, not mere profession, but coupled with practice to demonstrate faith. Then he goes on quickly in verse 25 to illustrate another Old Testament story of Rahab. Remember, she was the harlot that lived in Jericho who saved the spies in Joshua chapter 2. And he says she was justified by her works. In other words, she demonstrated again her righteousness before others in a work of obedience. And James concludes in verse 26 that the main point is a body without the Spirit is dead. What can a dead person do? Nothing. Useless, ineffective, impotent. So also he says faith, again, profession only, without works, is dead. It is a dead faith. It is devoid of deeds. So, three key conclusions. That's a lot of information. Quickly, our faith must be connected to our works. Our faith must be connected to our works. In Luke 6:46, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" In Titus chapter 3, we quoted that he saved us on the basis not of works, but his mercy. In Titus 3:7, he says that we're justified by grace, but then Paul adds in Titus 3:8, so that we will be careful to engage in good deeds. Faith, yes, justified by faith, but then also our works to show that faith. Jesus, Paul, James, all of the New Testament writers say the same thing. Profession of faith in Jesus Christ is connected to our practice of living for Jesus in behavior, attitudes, and actions. Second conclusion, it is our direction and desire for good works as well as the degree that matters. It is our direction and desire for good works as well as the degree that matters. Let me explain. The most common question people will ask me regarding faith and works is, well, how much work, how much good deeds is enough to evidence salvation? What is the degree of good works? This is often asked in light of the fact that we fall short of doing good things for God. We are so much imperfect in our obedience, and we don't repent like we should in our actions like we should. It is critical to understand that if you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are in the Father's hands. That nothing can snatch us out of the Father's hands, as Jesus said. We do believe in eternal security. But out of that assurance of salvation, Jesus is saying that you need to obey. It is a question of direction and desire of your life. Our degree of obedience can fluctuate. Our assurance of salvation is in Christ, but what he's talking about is, what about bringing forth fruit as evidence of that faith? Salvation, as someone said, does not produce perfection, but it does determine our new direction. The goal here is to do good works. It is a degree that we continue to increase with. And when we fall short, it is not to doubt our salvation, but to examine our hearts. What's my direction? What's my desire? Is it to do good works, even though I fall short? And by God's grace, we seek a greater degree of good works. So we don't get fixated on, well, this much versus that much of doing good works. It's the degree, the direction and the desire of our hearts. And finally, the conclusion, it is right to examine our works and our faith. It's right to examine our works and our faith. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed fail the test? Beloved, it's not our goal to go around challenging people as to being in the faith, to cause them to doubt salvation. It's not our goal to judge others for their lack of works and obedience in faith in Jesus. In fact, it can be dangerous to be a spiritual fruit inspector. However, it is biblical for individually, each of us, to examine ourselves as to profession of faith versus practice. It's biblical to ask ourselves, how well do my deeds demonstrate my faith in Jesus as my Savior? What's my direction and my desire? If I do not care about doing any works out of faith, if I don't care about even trying to live up to anything that Jesus asks of me, it is a sobering truth to realize that a continually disobedient life without any desire to obey Jesus, without any desire, can deny true faith. We must examine ourselves. Once again, the key conclusion here is the little song, "If You're Saved and You Know It." To realize it's more than just saying amen, clapping your hands, or stomping your feet. It is, if you're saved and you know it, then your life will surely show it. As James says, faith without works is indeed useless. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that you have taught us in your word those things that challenge us and change us. You've taught us, Lord, things that cause us to examine our hearts, to look at our lives, and to be honest about ourselves. And yet, God, you've taught us in a way that gives us grace, that reminds us of faith and the gift of faith, but also challenges us to live out that faith. Lord, you take us where we are when we're saved, but indeed you do not leave us there. Thank you, Lord, for grace. And thank you for the work in our lives that we might live like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.